I have a dream, a song to sing.
I believe in angels!
Did that work for you, Nick? Is that how...
Is this stranger still? Welcome to Stranger Still,
a podcast where we dream about thinking about things you didn't think about asking.
And then you dream about them. I'm Nick Wood.
I'm John Beacon.
And this week, we're talking about dreams. And it has always been my dream to have Helen on our podcast. And wouldn't you know it, Helen's on our darn podcast. You like that? You like that?
Wouldn't you know it? There?
Everybody, welcome Helen.
Hi, wee.
That's some good pointing.
I did point at the camera that we are using.
That's the least offensive point I've ever seen.
It's like all fingers.
Open palm.
It's all fingers all the time.
That's right.
That sounds really dirty. So, Helen, how are you?
I was fine until you did that. You know what? I'm fabulous. I'm here with y'all.
Good. We're fabulous now that you're here, because you have brought to us a gift. I don't know if you did it intentionally or if you even know you gave us this gift, but this podcast episode's idea came from you. We're talking about dream interpretation today.
Ah, it's me.
It's a me, Dream Mio. So this came about because you were telling us about your dream, right?
Yeah.
You had one time.
I couldn't even tell you what the dream was at the time.
Yeah, I don't remember any dreams.
I was telling you. Oh boy, was I ever. Oof.
Yeah. Which makes you, in our standards, the expert on dreams. So now we're going to work on interpreting your dreams.
Oh yeah, because I have had one or two.
Yeah, one of your dreams here and there. But before we even do that, what is your podcast about? Because you have a podcast, right?
I do have a podcast. Funny you should ask. I have a little show called Falling in Love Montage that I co-host with my sister Valerie, and I believe both of these fine hosts have guested on it in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
John, you talked about Fool's Gold?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Hat Catching. Oh, yeah.
And I talked about Ghosts of Girlfriends Past and
Mamma Mia.
Thematically enough.
Yeah, but generally we talk about chick flicks. Which is why Nick just mentioned some chick flicks.
Yes.
And we're pretty great. You can find us at fallinginlovemontage.com or on your podcatcher or whatever.
Yeah, go listen to it. It's also part of the Flying Machine Network, which is, if you haven't, this is the first episode you listen to this month. This whole month, we're having guests on from the Flying Machine Network. And you should go check out the other shows on the network, such as Falling in Love Montage.
Yeah.
And now...
I thought I was special. It's just because I'm from the network. Thanks,
you
guys.
Are special. You're very special to us and our hearts and all of our listeners' hearts. And yes, I am speaking for all of our listeners, so deal with it.
Unless they have a heart condition.
That's a little overwhelming. Cool. Great.
So now I have to find a way to segue into dream interpretation from here. Any advice?
Is that how these work?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's our first topic? Let's think this out.
John, have you ever had a dream?
Yeah.
What's that?
I was going to say, get out of my segue or off of my segue. No, wait, get out of my dreams.
Get out of my
segue. My
dreams.
It's like I've never spoken into a microphone before.
You guys ever ride a segue?
No, have you?
Yeah.
Well,
in my dream.
I ride one right into talking about dreams. Guys, have you ever dreamed before?
Yeah.
Everybody dreams, whether you remember it or not, people. According to many statistics, and I think this is just made up, you will forget 90% of the dreams that you have. And I think that that's made up because I don't ever remember like any of the dreams that I have.
I think when you wake up during them, you're more likely to.
Maybe, yeah.
That's what I found.
I found from personal experience.
That's true. So, John, tell me, what are dreams? Do you know?
Yeah, they're the thoughts that you have at nighttime while you're sleeping. And then you wake up in the morning and you tell your friend about them.
Yeah.
Until they don't care.
Oh, okay.
Unless they care. And then you keep that friend.
You know, you hit upon something, which is that whenever you're telling someone about a dream and you're like, it was the craziest thing. There was this cat and like he was making a peanut butter jelly sandwich, and they're like, You can never describe a dream succinctly enough for the other audience.
Or the worst is when you're really excited to tell someone, and then by the time you get to them, you forget it.
Yeah, it happens all the time. Helen, what is a dream?
For me, a dream is to one day be on Stranger Still, and hopefully... This is a dream right now, right here.
Wake up, Helen. Wake up.
I don't want to. Don't make me.
So dreams, believe it or not, are actually just your brain's activity during your REM cycle. And for those that don't know, REM stands for
really
a band
fast
in the late 90s.
Oh.
No, rapid eye movement, John. Not really fast eye movement. That'd be REFEM. But REM is the deepest part of your sleep, and it's about a quarter of your sleep, and it happens about every 2 hours and usually lasts about 30 minutes. It can differ from person to person. And there's all kinds of different stages of sleep, but REM sleep is the only time that you're going to have a dream. Now, John, what is dream interpretation?
That's what the ancient Egyptians used to do when they thought that...
Are you trying to give me a segue or something?
No, I'm just telling you right now here and calling it ahead of time that they're going to be the first ones to get this going.
Yeah.
Dream interpretation is when you have thoughts at night and then you wake up and you think that they mean something.
Yeah, yeah. It's something that like angsty teenagers do to feel more
angsty.
What's the word? Angsty. Angsty than they actually are.
I mean, I think I'm sure it's an aspect of it.
I saw a cat in my dream, and when I was young, I got scratched by a cat. That means I'm deep.
Mm-hmm. That is very deep.
Yeah, I know, right?
You got scratched pretty deep
ever...
by a cat.
Yeah.
It's embedded itself into my dreams. Have you guys ever interpreted your dreams or interpreted someone else's dreams?
I can self-interpret where I've been stressed about something, and then I wake up, and I'm still stressed about that same thing.
Yeah.
I have, well, in my house growing up, we did have a dream interpretation book. This was before the old internet, before you could even ask Jeeves about stuff.
Wow.
So I would be like, all right, I had a dream that I lived in a mansion and I ate a piece of chewing gum and it tasted like bacon. So I would look up in this book in the index and they would be like, Helen in a mansion, chewing gum tastes like bacon. It would say, oh, that means you have poor arch support or whatever.
Yeah.
But now
you gotta buy Dr. Scholl's. Here's a coupon.
Right. Yeah.
But I have occasionally Googled dream interpretations for things more recently, obviously.
Yeah.
Generally, I don't know what to do with that because certainly my dream about my teeth falling out doesn't mean the same thing as your dream about your teeth falling out. Right?
Or does it? Whoa. That's what we're gonna get to the bottom of today. Yeah, dream interpretation is just...
I almost fell out of my chair with that suspense.
If you fell out of a chair, you could have woken up like in that movie.
Inception.
Oh,
Inception.
Oh, Inception.
I can't think of the name. I kept wanting to say Interstellar. I was like, starts with an I and an N.
Interception.
And it's Christopher Nolan. Yeah. So dream interpretation, though, is just like John said. You take that dumb activity that happens in your brain while you dream and you try to make sense out of it. And anyone can do it. There are plenty of dream dictionaries out there. There's even like a dreamdictionary.com. You can search up. You can, instead of asking Jeeves, you can just ask this website what your dreams mean. And this feels a little bit redundant, but for those who have never interpreted or analyzed their dreams, you take your dream, you turn everything into symbols, you symbolize it, and then you just try to figure out what those symbols mean to you or whoever you're analyzing these dreams of.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain cliches that you guys have touched on, like your teeth falling out or falling. That always happens to me in my dreams. Stuff like that that are widely, they just kind of cast a blanket over these cliches that and apply them to everyone. But we'll come back to these. Mm-hmm. So, as an example, let's say that you had a dream about a cat driving an airplane, and someone might look at that and say, you have a fondness for cats, a fear of flying in an airplane. The cat driving the plane is your brain grappling with the fact that you don't have control over the plane, and that's why you're afraid of airplanes, because you have a lack of control. So while you're on the airplane, to reduce your fear, find something that you can control and focus on that.
Mm-hmm. And make sure that the pilot is a human.
That is also important. Mm-hmm. But people like me might also just look at that and say, you were just talking about like pets on airplanes earlier in the day with your friends, and then you fell asleep and your brain...
Yeah, or you heard it on this podcast right now.
Yeah, but that's just the skeptic in me talking. John, do you have any guess as to where dream interpretation started?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
Helen, how about you?
Couldn't even imagine. If I had to try, I couldn't. Yeah. I couldn't guess.
You couldn't guess?
Starbucks? If I had to peer. Rapping over lattes at Starbucks?
Yeah, it could be yeah. Starbucks. If I had to peer into the past.
Like, yeah?
Amidst all the history. If I had to peer amidst all
Siri
the history.
Siri thought you were talking to her.
I'm trying to peer amidst the history of trying to peer into the
what are you getting at? Pyramids. I'm with you.
Oh, golly.
Yeah. See, this is what I have to deal with, Helen.
No, this is a live action role playing as me coming up with the answer.
Yeah. So, dream interpretation has been around since 4000 to 3000 BCE, of course. And early on, I think it's important to note, I won't spend much time on this, but it's important to note that dream interpretation back then was usually done by, like, exclusively by a religious figure or some sort of spiritual leader or someone very high up in society. In ancient Egypt and Babylon and Mesopotamia and even Greece and Rome, they believed that dreams were a way of communicating with the gods. Mm-hmm. Or
they weren't
only
directed by, but they're also produced by Jesus Christ back in some of those times.
The dreams?
Yep, by Jesus.
Oh, he's like the Kevin Feige of
little head movies at
of
night.
Dreams, yeah.
Right.
Gotcha.
Or whatever Sumerian
the dreams
gods
see you.
Or,
yeah. Some civilizations thought it was a way of communicating with the dead, and therefore anyone who could interpret dreams was highly regarded. And the Greeks and Romans specifically used dream interpretation in some cases to dictate their strategy during war. It was so highly regarded. So if someone had a dream that like a dove flew to the west, then they would attack from the west. I don't know. But that's, I mean, they would use dreams to make that kind of decision.
Yeah, they did a lot of really dangerous stuff I saw.
Also in Greek, Aristotle believed that dreams were an early indication of sickness. So he would interpret dreams to diagnose an illness before they happened, which, I mean, I kind of feel like that might work because people have like fever dreams and stuff, right? No?
Could get a little scary still.
I think people do have fever dreams, at least.
I feel like I've had fever dreams.
Yeah.
And isn't there also, like, isn't it common lore that the things that you consume shortly before you go to sleep can also influence your dreams?
Cheese mares.
Yeah, well, I think people think, like, if you eat dairy before you go to sleep, you'll have weird dreams. But it's pretty much any food because your metabolism is still going. Mm-hmm. So your brain isn't fully asleep, so it's going to have more wild and vivid dreams. That there is a truth to that for sure.
Oh.
Yeah. But in the Middle Ages, people thought that dreams were being cast onto people by demons to get them to give in to their deepest temptations. And even in the Bible, I'm jumping around here, but in the Bible they had Joseph, if you've ever watched the musical Joseph in the Technicolor Dreamcoat, he was a dream interpreter, dream analyzer, and got in a lot of trouble for it.
Oof.
You ever seen that musical?
No.
All I remember is he was thrown in a pit at one point.
Ooh,
he was like the king's dream interpreter or something, and then like he told the king something he didn't like and got like thrown in a pit or something. Helen, you're smart. Do you know anything about Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat?
I just know it was amazing. It was Technicolor.
Yeah.
Did that rely on dreams being deposited in your head by demons too? Like,
I think so.
So demons just like their end game is to have every airplane flown by a cat, basically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought
absolutely.
I thought gods were giving you good dreams too.
Well, this was the Middle Ages where they thought that the demons were casting these dreams. Also, and this still exists to some part, especially in like religious circles like Ekankar and all that kind of stuff. People in ancient cultures believed that dreams took your soul to another plane of existence or another dimension. And in China, they believed that if you were woken too suddenly, your soul wouldn't have enough time to get to your body. And that would be bad. Native Americans and Aztec tribes shared the similar dimensional belief to their dreams. And so during this time, most of the dream interpretation was religious. Some sort of religious significance was cast upon it. And it actually started to die off for a long time until the late 1800s. Can you guess what happened?
Oh, man. Freud.
How'd you know?
Because I despise that fellow.
Oh, don't we all?
I know. He's not a good guy.
He's getting his
own episode
soon.
I think you probably just despise your father. Just a guess. I don't know who gave you that idea.
Yeah,
maybe a demon.
Or your mother. Why are you smoking a cigar, John? You've never done that before.
It's just a cigar.
So, around this time, Sigmund Freud hit the scene, and there were other people like Carl Jung. Is that how you pronounce his last name? Carl Jung. They were working on dream interpretation, and now we have this brilliant thing called science on our side, which is something that ancient cultures
and Freud
didn't have on their side. But they set out to say there's got to be a scientific explanation for dreams, and REM sleep wasn't like discovered, quote unquote, until the 1950s, 1954, I believe. So until then, people like Freud thought there had to be a reason that our body is giving us dreams. At least that's my interpretation of what they were working on at the time. And Freud, can you guess what he thought about dreams? Anyone out there? I know it's really tough.
Subconscious.
Yeah. He thought it was the subconscious telling us more about ourselves than our conscious mind could ever realize. And usually it had to do with some sort of trauma or desire, probably sexual, because it's Freud. And then Jung thought dreams offered symbolism as a means of expressing creativity as well as fortune telling. So he had a little bit of precognitive stuff working on in dream interpretations. But both of these goofs looking at dreams gave rise to what I would call modern dream interpretation, which is just sort of spiritual. Some people use it as a fortune telling tool.
Well, let me show you where I got a little triggered looking into this.
Go for it.
So there's one section of this where I got a little worried. APA PsychNet, the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, did a study on this that came up in some of my research into it a little bit. And what they had found, which was pretty worrying to me. People appear to believe dreams are particularly meaningful. They assign more meaning to dreams than to similar waking thoughts. For example, people report that they are more likely to cancel a trip they had planned that involved a plane flight if they dreamt of their plane crashing the night before than if the Department of Homeland Security issued a federal warning.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
So I got a little worried because it ties into cognitive dissonance and like reaffirmation. So if you want to believe something, it's easier for you to like say, yeah, I do.
It's easier to convince yourself.
I had a dream about it. So it must be. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that the easy explanation from an outsider's perspective is you're just worried about the flight coming up.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing precognitive about it. You're just assigning it this meaning that isn't really there for reasons that we'll get into, because dreams are just a byproduct of your brain doing its thing. So let's say that you're out there and you want to interpret your own dreams. I don't have a lot of advice for you, but I do have advice from dreamdictionary.com. They recommend keeping a dream journal, keep an open mind, figure out what the symbols that you're dreaming about mean to you. And if you can't figure out what those symbols mean, they do have a helpful forum full of people that can help you out.
And not to be a naysayer completely, because I know that was a downer with my little paragraph I read. A lot of really fun, creative ideas come from dreams anyway. So having a dream journal is awesome.
Yeah, like I forget what there's a name for it, but like Salvador Dali would get like really tired and then he would sit in a chair with a spoon and...
Because drugs were just so expensive back then.
Well, he would start to fall asleep and the spoon would like fall out of his hand, hit like a bowl or something or the ground, and it would make this loud sound and wake him up. And he said that's where he got like his best ideas. So there's examples of that with a lot of creative minds.
I know. Well, my mind is incredibly creative, as I'm sure you
both
know.
Of course, yes.
And I recall one time I had a dream about something and I woke up in the middle of it and I could remember it just clear as day. And I thought to myself, that is brilliant. That will make such a good story later. I have to write this down so I don't forget. So I had a piece of paper next to the bed. I wrote it down. I went to sleep. And when I woke up, I was greeted by what I had written on the piece of paper.
Yeah.
Which was Insane Clown House of Pancakes.
What does that mean?
It's like a surrealist, ICP, but like Salvador Dali. Like,
yeah, you're the next Salvador Dali.
Wow,
yeah. Can't believe we got you on our show.
I want a Juggalo pancake.
You're gonna be making like melting clock pancakes in like a week.
Faygo flavored.
So I do have, I mentioned before, the common tropes that we see with dreams. I've got 9 common dreams and what they supposedly mean from the verywellmind.com. I figured we could play a little game if you guys would indulge me a little bit. I'll read off the dream trope and you guys try to guess what it means.
Ooh. Well, and, I hate games, but I love indulging people, so sure.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I was going to think of a prize, but I can't think of one.
How about if we win, you can control our dreams tonight, and you give us a pretty decent one.
Okay, I'll do that.
Just make me an ASMR track to fall asleep to. We're saying, like, think about dogs. Think about dogs.
Here's what we'll do is whoever gets closest the most, I will give you a personalized dream tour I don't know what that means.
I don't want to win.
I think I'm cool. I appreciate it.
I just figured it'd be like what John said, where I just make a tape of me saying, "Dream about dogs. Dream about dogs. What are you doing? You're dreaming about dogs." I'll do that for you. So the first one I have here is falling. Falling. Audience, input your answers on the remote behind your seat.
Okay, falling.
Falling.
In love montage. What do you...
Oh, there you go.
Any podcasting app.
Yeah.
Flyingmachine.network.
Are you doing like... what's that called? Subliminal messaging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very nice. What do you guys think falling in your dreams means?
I feel like all dreams are a little bit about anxiety about something.
Yeah.
That is a common theme, yes.
A lack of erection.
Yeah. Of erection?
Yeah. If I'm not standing up straight, I'm falling down. You know?
Okay.
Yeah, limpness. Yeah. It's about flaccidity.
Right.
Gosh. According to dreamdictionary.com, it just means that something in your life isn't going quite right.
What?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Right? I have a quote here from Russell Grant, author of the Illustrated Dream Dictionary, who said, "Dreaming of falling is very common. It's a symbol of fear in real life, perhaps of failing at work or in your love life. Falling often expresses a need to let yourself go more and enjoy life more."
Wow.
So if you keep dreaming about falling, how about you just enjoy your life, you big
goof and
poop?
Okay.
Sorry, my bad.
How about being naked in public?
Ooh, I've had this one.
I have too.
Me too, recently.
I feel like that for me usually, that's again, like a super anxiety dream about relations
unprepared.
With people and being, I don't know, and meeting expectations.
That's I
feel like being, for me, just for me, you know, being naked in a dream tends to go hand in hand with like having the dream where I didn't do the book report or being
the
understudy on opening night and realizing I don't know all my lines. Like, it's usually...
That's way more specific. Yeah. I mean, you guys aren't far off. Basically, it means that you have imposter syndrome where you're feeling self-conscious or you feel like you're not living up to the expectations people have of you. And I have a quote from Penny Pierce, author of Dream Dictionary for Dummies, who says that dreaming of public nudity may indicate that you feel like a phony or that you are afraid of revealing your imperfections and shortcomings, which I think is a poor choice of words. Especially for... Never mind. How about being chased?
Oh.
Being chased in a dream.
Oh,
come on, John, this is easy.
To me, that evokes...
Overdraft fees.
Oh, that would be one, yeah.
Overdraft fees?
Yeah.
For me, that would evoke a fear of not being able to get something done, like an encroaching deadline that I'm not going to meet.
Yeah, I think you're close. What I have here is that you're just avoiding something. So this comes from Tony Crisp, author of Dream Dictionary.
What a name.
Tony Crisp.
Crispy Tony.
It's really... I was going to make a Tony the Tiger reference, but that's Frosted Flakes, not like...
Well, that would have been great.
Hey, you brought it home. Thank you. So he suggests that being chased in a dream might indicate a desire to escape from your own fears or desires. If your pursuer is a mysterious unknown figure, it might represent a childhood experience or past trauma. If you are being chased by someone of the opposite sex, Crisp suggests, that was not easy to say, it means you are afraid of love or haunted by a past relationship. So I guess Tony had a different take on it than dreamdictionary.com. How about losing your teeth? The infamous losing your teeth dream.
I have this one a lot.
Yeah. My wife said that she had it a lot when we were getting married.
Ooh.
Which doesn't really, mean anything, but...
It's like general anxiety dream or a fear of losing something, I feel like.
Yeah,
a connection.
Yeah, you would think, what were you going to say, John?
Oh, I was going to say an excitement for applesauce. I was going to go
yogurt.
Positive with it. Yeah.
And hot candies.
Can't wait.
I got a couple different takes here. One of them is that you're worried about your appearance or worried about something you said or your inability to communicate. And then Penny Pierce again says the real essence of teeth is their ability to bite through, to cut, tear, and grind. If your teeth fall out, you lose
and twerk.
You lose personal power and your ability to be assertive, decisive, and self-protective.
Ooh.
I don't know what that means. How about dying? like you or someone you know is dying in your dreams? I think I've definitely heard this one before.
Loss. I mean, it's everything. I mean, nothing's going to get as extra crispy as that previous fella. Yeah.
What do you call him?
Extra crispy.
I thought you called him like prunies or something.
Prunies?
I don't know.
Must be a cultural thing.
Yeah. Helen, what do you got for dying in your dreams?
Feels like it's not good. Not good, Nick. Not good. That's my interpretation.
Not a good look. Well, apparently, I think that this was just made up to make people feel better about their dreams. But apparently it's just a fear of change or the unknown.
This comes... it's like the death card in tarot.
Exactly.
It's to do with change.
It's not a negative thing. It's just change. Yeah.
Okay, what if you dream about dying reversed?
Being born?
I think she means like coming back from the dead.
Mm. Oh, man.
Or death upside down. It was terrible. It wasn't bad. I just wanted to make that pun. This one comes from Lori Loewenberg. She says, like death, change can be scary because, also like death, we do not know what is on, quote, the other side of the change, which is why the dreaming mind equates change with death. And she wrote a book called Dream On It, Unlock Your Dreams, Change Your Life. Thank you, Lori.
Okay.
How about, yes.
I'm going to interrupt y'all. It's real important. Have y'all heard, I'm going to call it a myth. Have y'all heard the myth that it's impossible to dream your own death?
I have heard a similar one, which is that if you die in your dream, you die in real life. What? Have you never heard that?
I got personal proof against both of those things. Unless I'm a ghost, I'm not going to say I'm not. But
I've never seen a ghost and you in the same room at the same time.
Right, so. Yeah, it's impossible.
Maybe you are a ghost. That's all I'm saying.
Mm. Although she does have a spooky skeleton inside, I heard. I heard another myth.
I do.
Those are both myths. They are not real. How about taking a test like that you haven't prepared for? I mean,
oh, I know.
I just gave it away. Go ahead.
When you're unprepared for a test.
Yeah. So this is according to Craig Hamilton Parker.
You didn't let Helen guess.
Helen, what's your guess?
I guess this is attributed to Craig Hamilton Parker.
If you dream about taking a test, it means you met a guy named Craig Hamilton Parker. Mm-hmm. Now, he's the author of The Hidden Meaning of Dreams, and he says, examinations are stressful experiences in which you are made to face up to your shortcomings. To dream of failing an exam, being late for one, or being unprepared shows that you feel unprepared for the changes of waking life.
You ever see that movie, Waking Life?
No, what? Is that a movie?
Good movie.
Oh, what's it about?
Dreams.
Oh.
And dream interpretation.
How about dreams about infidelity?
Oh.
This is uncomfortable.
That, you know, maybe infidels are coming for you?
I don't know what that means.
You know?
How about, there's a lot of different takes on this too, because I think it's another thing where people are like, no, it doesn't mean that you want to cheat on somebody. It's that... you're testing the limits of your reality. That's what a couple authors say. Mm-hmm. And then another couple of authors said, if you or your partner cheated in your dream, one of you isn't getting what you need from that relationship right now.
I have this friend who's definitely not me, who had a husband, who's definitely not someone I was married to,
right?
Who had a dream that my friend, who's not me, cheated on him.
Uh-huh.
And then he was really mad and picked a fight with my friend, who's not me, for the thing that my friend, who's not me, did in his dream.
Wow, dude.
That sounds like a really cool thing for your friend's partner to do.
Mm-hmm. And then they went to the Insane Clown House of Pancakes and hashed it all out, and it was fine. Hash brown it all out, and it was fine.
Yeah, and got. I really like their French toast at the Insane Clown Pancakes. What was it?
I chopped the Insane Clown House of Pancakes.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes. I like their Faygo syrup.
Yeah.
How many Faygo references can we get in here? How about flying in your dreams?
Flying machine.
I was about to say, that means you should definitely become a Patreon subscriber and visit flyingmachine.network/support.
Yeah. All right, next one. You guys nailed it.
Weird. That was written by Malcolm, what was his name?
Malcolm Nygaard, is what it says. No, if you're flying in your dream, apparently it means that you want to escape or run away from something. And I didn't get the author on this one. I thought I did. But they said flying alone occurs most frequently, showing independent aspects of flying. But because it often involves positive feelings of pleasure, flying may depict our sexuality.
Whoa, dude.
Especially aspects of it expressing freedom from social norms and restraints.
Do you have...
What do those words mean?
Well, I think what it means is if you stay fly until you die, that you should
Did you don't have an end to your joke?
I didn't think that one through.
How about pregnancy appearing in your dreams?
It means you're pregnant.
Yep, 100%.
It's caused by an elevated HCG levels in your bloodstream.
Yep.
And you're probably about 7 weeks along.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's probably a boy. If you dream, it's a boy.
Mazel tov. So I don't even know what to do with this one. There's a lot of different interpretations about it.
I feel like this one had the most, like, people... I feel like this had more interpretations than some of the others. Actually.
Right. I feel like it's very personal as to what pregnancy means, because I know that there are people afraid of having children, people that love having children, all kinds of stuff. Anyway, I'm just going to read what the verywellmind.com had on this. They said, dream interpreters often suggest that dreams about pregnancy represent everything from creativity to fear. David C. Loff, the author of Dream Dictionary, believes that pregnancy dreams might sometimes represent a woman's fear of being an inadequate mother. Author Tony Crisp, on the other hand, suggests that such dreams indicate that the dreamer is developing some area of potential or deepening a relationship. Dream interpreter Russell Grant writes that these dreams predict difficult times. Why was that so hard for me to read? Maybe
it was
difficult times.
Yeah.
There you go. That's what your dreams mean. And it's all true. Science backs it up.
What if I never have flying dreams, though? I feel like that's one of those that everyone talks about having, and I don't think I've ever had one. I have jumping real high dreams or hovering like Princess Peach dreams, but I don't have flying dreams.
I remember having dreams where, like, I do jump up in the air and I glide down, but never, like, flying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a matter of interpretation, guys.
What?
To think.
Boy,
I can remember the same thing. Or how about when you're running? The one that I always get is running, but I'm just so slow.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
Yep.
Those ones suck. Mm-hmm. I hate dreams. I'll save that for after the break about how I hate dreams.
Oh, Nick, after the break, Nick will reveal how he feels about dreams.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Like I said, dream interpretation is 100% backed up by science. There's been a lot of studies on this, and pretty much any dream dictionary you get is spot on.
Yep, sounds right.
So... That's not entirely true. And the best answer that I have for that is what we believe dreams actually are and what purpose dreams actually serve. And we don't exactly know why we dream, but there are a lot of very good ideas about it and a lot of studies to back these up. So a lot of scientists said that trying to interpret dreams from a scientific standpoint is pretty much useless. But for the longest time, we believed that dreams were a means of taking short-term memories and then dumping some of them, but then taking the important ones and moving them to long-term memory. For instance, you're going about your day and you encounter a cat named Billy. And then you're going about your day as well, and your significant other says, "Hey, I changed our password to alligator4. Don't try that on any of my accounts." The idea is that when you're dreaming, your brain is like going through cataloging all of the memories that were generated in your short-term memory. It comes across Billy the cat, and it's like, "I'm never going to see this cat again," so it dumps it. But then it comes to the alligator4, and it's like, "Hey, that might be important to remember." So it sticks in your long-term memory. Make sense?
Yeah, I've seen Inside Out.
Yeah, it's basically Inside Out. There's a bunch of tests outside of the documentary Inside Out that corroborate this. For instance, they would give a group of people a list of words that they're supposed to remember, and they let one group have a good night's sleep, and then they hooked up the other group to, like, EKGs, all the nodes on their heads and stuff. That's probably not the right... What is it? EEGs? Whatever. They hook them up to the nodes and stuff, and as soon as they hit REM sleep for the night, they'd wake them up. And wouldn't you know it, the people that had a good night's rest remembered more of the words than the people who were woken up about every 2 hours. Who'd have thunk? Some more recent theories are that it's a way of your brain cleaning itself, and it's sort of a byproduct of the chemicals released for the brain to clean itself, because as you're going about your day, all the neurons and myelin sheath in your brain just get gunked up. Yeah. So the chemicals, while you're sleeping and you're in REM sleep, there's these chemicals that get released to clean all that gunk off, but a byproduct of it is that it's causing you to dream. So there's, of course, studies to back this up. For instance, people who get fuller nights of sleep are less predisposed to end up with psychological disorders or dementia or Alzheimer's and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's starting to be one of the more popular theories.
That's something I keep hearing about a lot, too, is the ties to sleep and dementia.
Yeah.
And it just scares the hell out of me to want to sleep more and get better.
Yeah.
It's just important to get healthy sleep.
Mm-hmm.
I've also, this is like unrelated, but you reminded me that if you want to get a good night's rest, schedule the amount of sleep that you're going to get around your REM sleep, because if you wake up in your REM sleep, that's going to be you're going to have the hardest time waking up.
Mm-hmm.
So like schedule it to be like every 2.5 hours. So.
I used to have an app that was awesome at it.
Yeah.
It either ran by... what is it? What is the gyrometer or something?
Accelerometer?
Whatever is it, yeah, and phone that measures like movement.
Yeah.
And you put it like across your bed or under your pillow or whatever, mm-hmm. or it could measure audio with snoring.
Yeah.
And it would quiet down and go up and down and up and down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like really accurate for me to show like when it would go into REM and when I would not.
Yeah.
Because I would notice it would like...
I think Fitbits do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they do have something like that. This was a really cool like... And they had a version where you could just say how many sleep cycles you want to go through.
Yeah.
So I would like pick one and it'd be like between 30 and 45 minutes, because it would wait until you start moving a little to wake you up when you're coming out of REM.
I just hired a guy named Harry to stand in my room and watch me sleep. And then when I start, like, my eyes start twitching like I'm in REM sleep, I have him wait to not wake me up during that.
Yeah. That's...
Thanks, Harry. Shout out to Harry, my boy. So there is one more theory. I think it popped up in 2011. Pretty recent. I like this a lot. There's not a lot of studies on this, but one of the ideas sprouted that dreams are meant to remove emotion from your memories. So going back to memories a little bit, the idea sprouted from the fact that PTSD victims or trauma victims usually have a lot of the same reoccurring dreams over and over. And like if we were going to put this in the perspective of us, people that don't have PTSD, let's say we're having a crappy day, we hit a deer with our car, then that night we have a dream about hitting a deer with our car, and then the next day we wake up and we're not as traumatized about it, or we're not so bummed out about it anymore. People with PTSD, their brain might be skipping the part that like strips the emotion away from the memory, and the brain just keeps trying to go through that process of removing the emotion, but it can't, and that's why they have these reoccurring dreams. At least that's the idea.
I wonder what acid plays into that in psychotherapy.
Yeah?
Like hallucinogenics.
Yeah.
If it has to do with brain chemistry, I would just think that maybe that helps enable that ability to remove emotion.
Yeah, I like that idea though, because it's like
your brain trying to protect itself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, of course it's probably a mixture of all of these things, but what do I know? I'm not a scientist. Are you?
I wish.
Helen?
I'm a data scientist. I'm not even that.
That's all I got on dreams. You guys got anything on dreams? Do you have any... What?
What does it mean if you have a smoochy smooch dream about someone in your podcast network?
Hmm.
Oh, no.
That's a really good question.
Theoretically.
Well, this is the thing. I've had a lot of smoochy smooch dreams about John.
Right, yeah.
And I just think it means that we are wonderful friends.
Okay, well, yeah. You never told me that before. It's kind of a weird time to tell me that.
No, it's the perfect time.
Oh, right.
We're talking about dreams.
Yeah.
I actually had a reoccurring dream with wolves that I think I've talked about on this show before. I think I did, yeah.
You just smooching them?
I did not smooch the wolves.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't smooch them. But they did eat raw red meat in the snow, and I would look out the window of any dream I was in. Yeah. Anytime I look out the window, there'd be like a wolf eating this bloody red meat. They never got mean. They never got angry. They were just eating the meat, and they'd look at me, and then I'd wake up.
You know all vegans have that dream, right? That's universal.
Yeah, just
it's
fear
from the
of
hive
meat.
Mind, yeah. I do hate it when like you have a smoochy smooch dream about a coworker or something, and then you have to reconcile that before you see their face next time.
Yeah, and like it's not cool to tell people that if you don't know them very well.
No.
Don't
kind
do
of a
that.
Weird thing to do.
For me, it's always like I don't remember I had the dream until I see the person, and then like, I'm like, oh
your
no,
face
yikes,
goes white. Yeah. I feel like I've had a lot of weird dreams. I used to have a dream when I was younger that I was stuck in the movie Clue, and I don't know why. That's
Which
like
ending?
The only. It's a good question.
Oh, no, is there a director's cut or something?
Have you never seen the movie Clue?
I don't think so.
Oh, man, we need to go on a tangent about this.
So the movie Clue. We need to go to sleep and dream about it.
Yeah. So I'll let you borrow it. It's a very good movie. But back in the day, I didn't even know this, theaters or movies had these things called theater gimmicks where, like, I don't know, you'd go see Phantom of the Opera, and when the chandelier falls, they'd have a chandelier that they would drop. That's not a real example. That's something that they would do at stage plays. But they would have these, like, gimmicks. Or, like, Rocky Horror Picture Show. You'd show up, and they'd have all these props in the first couple rows, stuff like that. That was, like, a standard for a lot of movies at the time. And when Clue was coming out, they're like, we're going to do a theater gimmick where we're going to have like four different endings, something like that.
Three or four.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
And we're going to have a different ending at different theaters. So you could go try to find it at a different theater and see it multiple times.
I so badly want this to exist. I thought I had that original thought recently and that they wouldn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
And then just have different people write reviews.
See, I had that idea for Avengers Endgame.
Yes. That would be amazing. Because
I was like, you just, or Infinity Wars, you just kill off a different section of people, and then when it comes out on DVD, everyone can see all of it. But then you wouldn't be able to spoil it for other people because you don't know what they saw, and they mm-hmm. don't know what you saw,
and they wouldn't believe you, and you'd start fighting, and then the Civil War starts, and then you could promote Civil War.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's all connected,
just like our dreams, Nick.
Have you ever had a dream that promotes an episode of your podcast?
No. Did you? What was it like?
Oh, back in Makaname 2018.
About a year ago.
Mm-hmm. You both participated in that fine month. I had a mm-hmm. dream that I was at the house of someone I had not seen since elementary school. And in his backyard, in his backyard, he had a huge lake. And in the middle of the lake was a giant, like, King Kong-sized cardboard standee of Matthew McConaughey. And that means I am going to take a test I'm not prepared for while naked falling down.
Yes.
With a motif.
In a montage.
Yeah.
Do you guys want to take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll talk about why I hate dreams?
Oh, sure.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Ba-dum-bum. Why do I know that little fake jingle you just did?
Ba-dum-bum. It's like one for everything.
It's Reading Rainbow or something.
Is it?
I feel like it's real. Like, but don't take my word for it. Ba-dum-bum.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
That's right. John?
Yeah.
People know where to find us, but they might not know where to find Helen. Helen, where can people find your fine podcast?
Oh my gosh. Well, one of the places people can find my fine podcast is one of the places people can find your fine podcast. And that's
so.
flyingmachine.network/shows under our name, which is Falling in Love Montage.
That's right. And what's your podcast about again? I already forgot. I'm just so stupid.
Oh, that's fine. Most of our listeners are really intelligent. So... my sister and I talk about chick flicks. Each episode, we have watched one chick flick, and then we look into it, talk about it, analyze it from a feminist perspective, and sometimes mm-hmm. we try to be funny. And I don't know if we succeed, but, you know, we sure try.
I think you guys do.
Thank you. I was fishing for compliments. It's a fishing podcast.
You're going to get your compliments from me. Now, I would normally ask where's a good starting point for people, but I mean, totally unbiased, I would say that a really good episode, if you want to get a feel for the show, would be Mamma Mia.
I didn't really like the guest on that one. Yeah.
Fool's
He's
Gold
a big
is
jerk.
Dope, though.
What?
Fool's Gold.
Yeah, it was.
What would you think is like a really good episode that exemplifies what your podcast is all about?
Ooh, people always ask me this, and I always say different one. So which am I going to say this time?
Whatever you're in the mood for.
I will recommend the episode that one of you was on that has not been mentioned just yet, and that is Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. I think that is an especially good episode because that is maybe the worst movie we've ever watched on the podcast.
It's such a bad movie.
But I have...
I still think about that movie sometimes, and I'm... It's not
good. Ooh, yeah. So there's that. But I also feel very strong, warm feelings for our episodes on Bend It Like Beckham and mm-hmm. Four Weddings and a Funeral featuring Owen Chules. And we had a bonus-ish episode in which we covered Jennifer's Body. That's slightly shorter than most episodes. Uh-huh. And as a result, very easy to listen to.
For I will say, one of my wife's favorite episodes for whatever reason was the Ghostbusters one that you guys did like a really long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Like, that was, I think, a pretty long episode, too. Yeah, that would have been...
Yeah.
Yeah, probably 2016, 2017 we did that.
Yeah, long time ago. So go listen to it. Catch up. It's great. Great listen. And you don't even have to watch the movie beforehand because you guys talk about it.
Yeah, they'll save you the time.
Yeah.
Especially
spoil the whole thing.
That's the best part.
Yeah, your next episode, which is Detective Pikachu. And
is that a chick flick?
Yeah, it's falling in love Pokemon Touch. Mm.
Have you been working on that this whole time? That's the look of yes.
No, I'm really proud of you, John.
Also, I will say, if you have ever thought about becoming a patron, now's the time. Obviously, we're doing the Patreon drive. Last episode, we talked about hitting our 150 goal, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
we got it. Yep.
We got that one. We're at $168. And if you get two more bucks, John and a guest are going to make songs about...
It's me and a Malcolm.
Talking about... Or not talking about... Making jingles and songs out of listener prompts, and you're gonna live stream it, right?
Yep.
So that sounds awesome. But the coolest part about becoming a patron is, first of all, for $1 a month, let me just get this out of the way. For $1 a month, you get access to the Classic Comrade podcast collection, which was what the network was before it was Flying Machine. They had like a content channel like we have today. You get access to the Producer's Journal for Flying Machine content channel episodes. You get a personal thank you from the host of a show that you like. So if you're like, hey, I want the host of Strangers Still to shout me out, get that for a buck. But the best part...
Or shout out me. We'll do that.
Yeah. The best part I have saved for last, about just $1 a month, just one little measly smackaroony a month, you get a bi-monthly in-flight magazine written by our very own Helen.
With the best art.
I know.
Yeah.
It's
The art's really better than the newsletter itself, but...
oh, no. I love the newsletter every time because it's just like... It feels like a stream of consciousness put onto a page, which I really enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
It's very
One
fun
time
to
it
read.
Literally was about stream of consciousness, and the entire thing was like a very small Finnegan's Wake sort of situation.
Yeah. But if you want to donate a little bit more, $5 a month, you get all that stuff. You also get access to the APOC Radio podcast collection, which is Justin and Malcolm's. I said this so poorly last time. It is a movie review podcast that happens to take place in the apocalypse.
Yeah, that's good. You did a decent job last time.
No, last time I said it's an apocalyptic movie review podcast, which makes it sound like they review only apocalypse movies. Yeah. Which is not the case. They review, you should listen to the episode on Frozen. If you give us $5 a month, it's perfect. You also get monthly bonus episodes from every single show on the network. And I had the amount last time, and it's not showing up on this page now. It was like 58 episodes or something. I don't know where it went. Anyway, so you get that for $5 a month. It's amazing. And then for $10 a month, we just introduced this tier. It is all that stuff plus an annual gift box from Flying Machine. It's a box of Flying Machine merchandise and hand-picked media just for you. It could be
I'm not a media dude,
comic.
So.
You're not a what?
Media dude. You said it's hand-picked media dude. I don't eat meat.
Media.
Oh, I just wanted to mention that I'm vegan.
Every opportunity. So now's the time to do it. $2 more in our Patreon, and you get to live stream with John. Also, let's see. I'll be doing a live stream with Malcolm and probably someone else playing Age of Empires soon. So stay tuned for that. And
oh man, you should visit Egypt in that game so you can see everything invented.
Yeah,
that
we talked about dream interpretations and what other episodes?
All of them.
Yeah,
I can't think of an episode that the Egyptians didn't come up with.
Yeah. Any last-minute thoughts, Helen?
I'll probably dream about whatever I would have been asked later, but no? Wait, I do want to say I have not had a smoochy-smooch dream about either of you. I was trying to be provocative.
I was curious, but I didn't want to push the issue.
Yeah, as long as we're being provocative. If you do the $10 tier, we won't send you drugs. Just remember that. Keep that in mind. You're not going to get drugs in the mail.
Why did you wink at me?
Because I'm just letting you know, like, hey, I care about you, and also...
Why are you winking
You won't get drugs in the $10 tier.
Quit winking.
We won't. Legally, I have to say that you won't, okay?
Oh, but you're going to wink about it. Mm. You know what I forgot to talk about is why I hate dreams.
Yeah, what's that?
Oh,
I
that
hate
was
dreams.
A thing.
Yeah, so...
Do you hate it because you're bad at them, though?
Maybe. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
You guys tell me if, because I never know if this is the normal human condition or if it's just that my dreams suck. But, like, my dreams are so disruptive that usually they wake me up. Like, at least once a night, my dreams will wake me up. Because I'm, like, having an anxiety dream about elevators again, which I'm not actually afraid of in real life. But my dreams seem to hate elevators for some reason. Or, what are my other anxiety dreams about? Cats driving airplanes. And they always wake me up. Every single time.
Yeah, but maybe you're just, we're going to wake up anyway, and that's why you remember them.
Maybe. But is that normal? Do people hate their dreams?
Yeah,
I am dumb.
Are you sleeping really dumb?
Did probably. You think that? Yeah. I need to read Sleeping for Dummies, I guess.
You sleep on your back?
I will say,
I sleep on my
in
side.
Most cases, the dreams that wake me up, I do hate. And then other times, I'll wake up having the vague sense that I had a dream, but I'll have no idea what the dream was. And I have no ill will towards that dream.
Huh. I say one out of three of mine are good, and the other two are anxiety.
Huh.
But the good ones are fun and stupid.
Sometimes the nightmares are fun in a way. Like, I had a dream that my dad was trying to eat me, and I was like, I'm just never going to look up the interpretation of that.
There's a lot of themes in that one. Just ask Freud.
Oh, no.
No, thanks.
Yeah, no, thank you.
I want to open a restaurant called Deep Freud. And just deep fry anything you want.
In the shape of Freud.
In the shape of
best of Freud. Oh, that's much better.
You should do it while we're young.
Yeah. Deep Freud. And every dessert is just a cigar.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Anyway, I think that'll do it for this week. What do you guys think?
I think I'm
Whatever.
Still John.
I'm still Nick.
Am I supposed to say that I'm still Helen? Because I am. I'm still Helen.
Perfect. And this is Stranger Still.
Was John still John?
Oh, yeah, he said that.
I'm
yeah.
Oh, sorry
yeah.
to hear it.
I give you the incredible machine.